great power that is the love that Jesus Christ has for us. Amen. Sing it to him this morning. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I found in you. Oh, and Lord, I come. I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround.
Cast me not away.
let's worship Him now. Hallelujah. Me a clean heart, yes, Lord. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me, creating me a clean heart. Oh, this morning as you're being seated. Amen. We want to welcome everyone to the service this morning. God bless you. It's good to see each one today. Just looking for a good time in the Lord. Amen. How many come expecting this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to take our prayer request. I'm going to ask Brother Stephen to come this morning. And do want to welcome each one that's listening in by way of internet this morning. Pray the Lord would bless you especially. Please pray for Shirley Laws, a friend of Sister Jackie. She had a heart attack yesterday. So, says thanks. Remember this request for Shirley Laws this morning. Also, please remember Brother Alan Gunner in prayer. He's hurt his back and he's trying to rest, so we want to remember Brother Alan this morning that God would give him a touch. Sister Carrie Whitlock still having back pain, so remember her. Also, we've Sister Shirley's with us this morning. Sister Shirley Lingle, good to have her with us today. She's been away a lot with her husband being sick. We've seen Sister Sarah come in. Sister Sarah Buchanan not feeling well this morning. Remember her in prayer. God would just touch her this morning. Sister Hannah Gunder, still going through testing. We want to remember Sister Hannah this morning. Also, the LaFontaines are in Africa. We want to remember them. That God would just be with them. Give them a good meeting there. Also, good to have Sister Sarah Vasaki home from Europe. And just pray God will meet every need this morning. Brother Stephen, if you would come this morning as we get ready to pray. Amen. I'll go ahead and read this card. Says Hickory Bible Tabernacle. I want to thank you for all the prayers, financial gifts, food and visits, phone calls for my husband Larry during his surgery and his slowly recovering process to health. Thank you. Just keep praying for both of us. He's presently in Carolina Rehabilitation, Accord, North Carolina. Sister Shirley Lingle says, I love you each and every one. So we love her too and pray that God will just continue, Lord, to touch her husband. This request, I'm going to read. It's a little bit long, but it's a very humbling request this morning. It says, as some of you know, the Lord has blessed me with a great new job, with a lot of great people I work with. But the last couple of weeks I have witnessed that there are a lot of lost souls there too. The Lord has put it on my heart to ask for your help in prayer for these people. There are too many to name, but our God knows each and every one of them. And it says, it is written in His Word that faith, the size of a mustard seed, can move mountains. And that prayer is a powerful tool of our Lord, especially in numbers. Satan has tried to stop me all night in my mind from asking for your help. But as this request is being read, he's already fleeing, because I know in faith that our prayers together for the people that I work with and care about will intercede in their lives. So I asked, let us pray for them and let the Lord start the movement in their lives. Thank you and God bless. That's from Brother Jeremy. Klutz or Klutz? Klutz. Is that Klutz? Klutz? Okay. So that's, appreciate that, Brother Jeremy. It's, we all should have a desire there in our heart to pray for our lost loved ones. And, you know, God knows that need, and He knows that heart to put in that request. And we don't take it lightly, Brother Jeremy. It's our privilege to pray for your friends. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And if you would, let's stand and pray together. If you'd bow your heads and just pray along with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe this morning that you are more than able to do abundantly what we ask, or even could have the courage to think about. We know that you can do it. So Lord, as the body of Christ, as we gather together this morning, we bind our faith together, and we ask that you would move among us. These needs that have been brought before you, Lord, the many that are struggling with health issues, Lord, we believe that you are the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. All of them, we believe that you can heal them. And so, Lord, we submit every single one of those needs into your hands. Lord, the many that are traveling, the many that are away, or the other unspoken prayer requests that we have, Lord, we submit them to you, into your hands. We know that you are more than able to move on behalf of those people and in the lives of your children. And Heavenly Father, we come into your gates with thanksgiving and praise. We give you praise for the many that have traveled and come a long ways and have arrived safely. We give you praise for answering the many requests that we've brought before you from this very pulpit alone. The many things that we have brought before you, you have acted on and you have answered, Lord, we thank you for that. We love you and we praise you for it, knowing that you are more than able and that you did it for that, for them and for those things. You'll do it today for us now. Lord, it's in your presence that we submit that. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to be a witness and a light to those around us. There are many people on the face of the earth that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ before, and we stand with a glorious gospel in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a witness to those people. And whatever way you would choose and whatever capacity you would give us, I pray that you'd give us the courage to spread the glorious light. We love you and we thank you. Into your hands do we commit this service. And Brother Barry, help us to move ourselves out of the way. And in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ do we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Let's sing that song. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Aren't you glad this morning? Hallelujah. You don't look like you're that glad sometimes, saints. Are you glad this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. We should be very, not only glad, but thankful God has done in our day. Amen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. with the fire that fell at Pentecost. Flame that made them clean, it is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Though these people may not learn to be nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, tithing in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Are you glad today? I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Time for service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad I can say one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek His blessing that clean your heart from sin. That will start the joy bells ringing and keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad I can say one of them. One more time, I'm one of them, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one again. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, high for service came. And what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them, one of them, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them, one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say one of them. Give Him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Amen. Brother Keith's coming this morning to sing. While he's coming, I have a couple announcements to make. There will be a youth event Saturday, September the 9th at 5 p.m. at the Buchanan home, and there's more information to follow, so remember that. Also, have a note, remember the men's meeting September the 29th. So if you're planning on going and haven't signed up, you need to do that. Amen. Brother Keith's going to sing for us this morning. Amen.
I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call, and at the midnight cry steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air, and then those that prophecies fulfilling, and signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere, and I can almost hear my Father. Midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise when Jesus steps out.
Thank you, Brother Keith. Amen. Enjoyed that beautiful song. Let's stand this morning as our ushers come. Amen. Let's sing that song, Let Me Walk With You, Jesus. Amen. How many want to walk with Him? Amen. Well, we got two. Amen. Brother Andy, if you would, prayer for the offering this morning. Thank you. This morning, let's sing that song, Pleasing, Pleasing, Let Me Be Pleasing to You. Amen. Let's sing it. Yes, Lord.
again. Worship him this morning. House? This is God's house, right? No, this is God's house. Let's sing it this morning. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. We join our hearts together now in prayer this morning, lifting holy hands without wrath, without doubting, Lord, believing that you are and that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And we invite your presence to come today to speak to every heart. Lord, we know you would have many things to say today. If you were standing here in a suit, Lord, in a human body, you would have many, many things to say to us in the very closing hours of time. So, Father God, we want to be attentive to what you say to us today. And, Lord, you know that in our conversations this week, you know, Lord, that I really don't want to speak to this people. I want you to speak to this people. And so I submit myself as a vessel or a tool in the hands of the Master that you might use me, Lord, to speak to your people today. But, Father God, you be the one who speaks, and you be the inspiration, and you be the hearer tonight, the one that applies this word in our hearts. We have come to a serious hour, and, Lord, we're a people who we just expect great things from you, Lord, to prepare your people for the soon catching away of your bride. Prepare our hearts, Lord, I pray, and may, Lord, you just come and minister to every need and every heart today. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. And amen. Shake somebody's hand near you, and you may be seated this morning. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Bring up our PowerPoint, please, if you don't mind. And welcome to the house of the Lord. It's really good to have all of you today. Despite the fact that we're missing folks, we are always honored to have you with us today. And may the Lord richly bless you. And may we come to the end of our day and say, it's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God's company. And so this morning, while I have your attention and I have the majority of the church with us, I want to make a few announcements here. So just hold on, and we'll work our way through these rather quickly, and then we'll get to the Word this morning. I feel a burden, and I feel a little frustrated because I just can't get to everything I need to get to. And, you know, I just feel like I'm being chased with the revelation of the Word. That's how I feel. I'm being chased. There's so many things that are just happening and unfolding. And I'm just, with all my heart, I'm just trying to be very sensitive and very selective. So when you come to service, you should be in expectation. And you should be looking for the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a very unique way, because I believe He has things to say to us in this hour. Brother Biscoll is still in recovery. He's in a very low profile. He's taking a very low profile. I was talking to somebody who was with him this past week, and he's going through a very slow recovery from open-heart surgery. And he's doing well, as expected, but he's just in a very low profile. So you can continue to remember him in prayer. This Wednesday night, Brother Burley Williams is going to be coming to speak for us tonight, and he's going to be sharing his experiences on the last. He just recently came back from Tanzania, and he went out into a remote area that I've never been to and ministered to the people out there and had tremendous meetings there. So he's going to fill you in on some of the details on Wednesday night, so we have that to look forward to. I wanted to ask you to specifically mention in your prayers to mention the Gunters. Without going into all the details, and I don't have the liberty to go into all the details, they've just really been going through a testing time. And we need to be praying for them, and I know that they would appreciate it if you reached out to them. There's some health concerns there, and there's some other concerns related to their housing and some other things. And so if you don't mind, just keep them in prayer, and I know that they would appreciate hearing from you. They're not here today, I've been in contact with them and talked extensively with them over the last little while. I just want to say this, that this morning, Sister Angela and Sister Jackie did something yesterday that I thought was really, really nice, and that is they came down from Shingle and took Sister Haney out for lunch and spent some time with her. And I'll tell you what, I know that would mean a lot to Sister Haney. And I really appreciate that for both of you, and may the Lord richly bless you for that. Also want to say a special thanks to the Ivies, who took Brother Ulray Robinson and their family on Monday night and Tuesday night before they flew back to New Zealand. And they are a wonderful family to spend time with. And I didn't realize it, but he had come all this way without telling me. He had come all this way to spend a day with me. He wanted to talk about specific things related to his church. And I had been there when he first took over, and this was 5 or 6 years later. And so we had an opportunity to spend some quality time up in Virginia. And then they went to the Ivies, and they told me as they were leaving that they did have a wonderful time with the Ivies. And we appreciated them opening their home and extending that courtesy to them. And that's a real blessing. And that's the way it should be. We should care one for another, right? Doesn't matter what part of the world we live in. I wanted to mention this morning, because it's always nice to be able to mention things like this, that on February 27th, 2018, Lord willing, Josh and Kristen will have a little child. God bless you. She's farther along than what you think. August 14th. Sarah Vasaki. Now, I seem to remember that name. Sister Sarah, good to have you back. She's just back from Europe last night, so she's going to be alert this morning, but not this evening, okay? She's the only one who has permission to sleep this evening. August 16th, Brother Garrett Frame up in Pennsylvania has a birthday. August 18th, Sister Ella Kate Jackson is going to have a birthday. How old, Sister Ella Kate? 10 years old. God bless you. And Keith and Sarah have an anniversary. How many years? 22 years. Wonderful. We appreciate the Buchanans very much. The men's meeting is set there. The notice is set there. And this is the official, Lord willing, lineup. Brother Reagan, Brother LaFontaine, Brother McGarry, Sam Browning, Brother Oltig, Andrew, and myself, Lord willing, going to tackle a special session Friday afternoon for current events and things that are taking place in the world. and also Brother Jason Watkins. So you need to sign up. The word is out, and people are signing up in the conference center next Sunday night, Lord willing, next Sunday night. I'll give you a time. We're going to have a meeting with the brothers that normally work at the men's meeting, and it will be an initial meeting that we have to make sure that we're organized and prepared to have things in place for the meeting coming up. So if you have not signed up, you might want to think about that and get your name on the name on a bed over there so it doesn't fill up too quickly. All right, so let's take our thoughts this morning to the Word, and let's go, if you don't mind, to Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to go backwards here, and we're going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture, which is a parable that Jesus gives. Matthew chapter 20, let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Stephen is going to minister tonight, so I'm going to say what I need to say this morning, what the Holy Spirit would have me to say, and then I'll step aside today. We're going to have our meeting with our young men today. You guys, right? You guys, Julian, good to have you back. And all of you young men that are in my young men's group, we're going to meet this afternoon at 3:45, okay? Be there or be square. And if you brothers want to come and slide in the back, you're welcome to do that, okay? Doesn't matter whether you're single or married, if you want to slide in the back, and listen, there's always things that are pertinent and relative to men if you want to come and join in. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Whenever Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this, you should take notice, because he's giving us an understanding, based on earthly principles, what it's like in the kingdom of God or what the administration of the kingdom of God is like. Okay? That's what this is. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them unto his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, this is where you come in. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. The word right there means that which you are to be paid, he said, you shall receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first. And the first shall be last, for many be called, but few chosen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Sister Shirley Lingle, it's good to have you in your old seat there. God bless you. I consider it a real answer to prayer that her husband is where he is today. He came very close to the bottom, and we're glad that he's where he is today. We pray for you and for your husband daily, and good to have you with us this morning. Now, this is not titled, What Do We Believe? Or, What Do We Believe? This is, What Do We Believe? You get the difference. We're living in a time where things are happening very quickly. That's an understatement. But they're happening not only without, in terms of the world and the nations and so forth, and our news is filled with events. And We know as well that there are things that are happening within the body of Christ and the people who identify with the message of the hour. There are serious things that are happening. And there's even language that's coming forth that to me is troubling. And without going into details, I just say this. There are times when it's good for us just to kind of stand back and say, what do we believe? What is it that we actually do believe? Because if the trend continues, you're going to need to know this. You're going to need to know what we really do believe. It's not good enough for us to say, well, we believe what our pastor believes. Or it's not good enough for us to say we believe everything Brother Branham believes. The time is going to come when you're going to need to know what you believe. And be convinced of it. And be sure of it. Because we're moving into deeper waters, as Brother Branham warned us we would be several years ago. So this is not intended to make anybody upset or scared or anything. This is meant to encourage. And when we talk about the 11th hour workers, remember, they got the same blessing, the same reward, they got the same benefits as the people who've been at this a long time. And whether you realize it or not, you are the 11th hour workers, okay? You are those people, and we'll show that in just a moment here. Now, Brother Bannon made this statement, and he said in The World Falling Apart, and this is where I began to think about this. Don't look at the board there. This is where I got to begin to think about this, and I was looking at this sermon, and I was thinking about these things, and Brother Branham, on page 10, and I really like this New York series, because in this meeting, I knew somebody who was at this meeting in New York City when it took place, and this minister, who was from Newfoundland, Canada, where I'm from, he went there, and in front of him is where that old colored lady was sitting there, and she had a couple of children who were in the seats next to her, so he was behind this family of colored folks. And when they were talking in the preamble of the service, you know, they were just having music and so forth, this brother, he got to talking to this lady who was in front of him. Now, this pastor who was there, this brother who was there on a search to find the truth. And there were several people up in Newfoundland, several ministers up in Newfoundland, back in the days when Brother Branham was still alive, who were very interested and concerned about trying to find, you know, the most current thing that God was doing. They wanted to find the thing that God was up to in our time. They wanted to be right on the cutting edge of what the Holy Spirit was doing in their day. 1963 is when this was. And so several of the ministers went to different places in North America to see and hear what these ministers were doing. T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, Brother Branham, different ones. And they sent a person to each one of these meetings, and they were to come back and report to the people what they saw. And based on that, they were going to, you know, pursue or invite these ministers to come to Newfoundland and minister to the people, because they had a desire, you know, to walk with God. They had a desire to be where the Holy Spirit was in that particular hour. They didn't know. And so this brother, this pastor, he went to New York City, and Brother Branham was to be there, and he got a place in the auditorium, and this colored lady was in front of him. And she had a couple of children who were next to her, and one of them was severely crippled and had crutches and had braces on his legs like polio and couldn't walk very straight at all. And when they got to talking, this brother and the sister, they got talking, and she showed him. She said, I brought a brand new pair of shoes, and she lifted up a shoebox. And she had a brand new pair of shoes for the child. And she said, I brought this because I believe today is the day. And I believe God's going to do something. And he just kind of registered that in his own mind. He said, coming right down through the meeting and right at the end of the service, Brother Branham just points up right up to where they were. And he says, there's a little boy up here and is crippled and has crutches with him. And he said, and your mother has a box of shoes right next to you. She said, sister, take those braces off and put those shoes on that child. And this brother Manuel, he watched, and he said this little boy put on those shoes and stood to his feet without crutches and walked out of that meeting. And when he came back, he influenced the entire group of people back in Newfoundland to recognize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was a great thing. That's why I love this series of meetings. Now, let me read you what Brother Ram said. This is on page 10, World Falling Apart. Every so often, the world gets into such a chaotic condition until there's nothing can help it. We've had several times like this, these preludes. And we find that each time when it meets this condition and it causes people to start praying and they feel everything has played itself out as all of our systems and everything, we've played itself out to the end. Every so often, Brother Bram said, it gets to that place and there's nothing that we can do. He said, we've had these several times in history. He said, these preludes. And what he's referring to is a prelude to destruction. It's a prelude. It is that event that goes on prior to the main event, and the main event is the falling apart of the world. And he says, and they feel that everything has played itself out, and it did that in the antediluvian world. This is in Noah's time, and politics and other things has come to its end, and there's no more to it. There's no more substance to it. And I think that's all done by God for a purpose, to kind of rejuvenate, to bring it back. And it has a way of renewing itself. And I think it's just a law of God that these things come to that place. It's actually a law of God that we've come to the place where we come to, where there's really nothing left. There's no political system that's able to pull it all together, and there's no amount of quality leadership left in the world to bring it back onto an even keel. It's not going to happen. And so therefore, Brother Bram said, when we come to those places and we're living in this prelude to destruction, then, Brother Bram said, people get to praying. And they get to, they begin to get a little more serious with God and about the things of God, right? And that's a consequence. That's a natural consequence. Now, there's some people who don't care, right? They have other causes and they have other things on their mind. But the people of God, they're affected by living in this prelude. And so they're very sensitive to what's going on around them. This is where we come in. Now, Brother Bram said, in convinced and concerned, he said, now, Lord, bless thy word as we read it. Thy word is a lamp, a light that gives light from earth to glory. So that's the path we're on, right? We've said this many times. We're on the path from earth to glory. And may we climb a little higher on the ladder tonight, Lord, because of our fellowshipping together in the presence of Christ Jesus. And he said, now, Father, from this hour, walk into our presence and take the word of the living God and give it to every hungry heart. How many would be praying like that today? Lord, walk into our presence. May our hearts be in tune with you and so in tune with you that you can walk freely into our presence and feed our hungry souls and Lord, minister to our hearts. And that's what the Word does. It's a light on the path from earth to glory. So we can never do without it. We'll never make our way without it. All right, the infallibility of God's Word, God's spoken Word. Brother Bram refers to the Scripture where Jesus said there would be a stone laid in Zion. And he references this a little bit. And he says, now, that would be the anchor. He said, the stone that's laid. And God in heaven, with the ladder hooked into his own throne and hooked it also in none other but the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. God don't want his ladder slipping around. He tried to hook it into a covenant with Adam, but Adam broke it. So now there's a journey, there's a path, right, from earth to glory. And what Brother Bram's describing here, he said, just like Jacob saw that ladder with the angels ascending and descending on it, right? Brother Bram said, there's one end of that that's hooked to God's throne in heaven. And he said, there's another one that God tried to anchor on the earth through Adam, but Adam broke the covenant. So he said, he rather hooked it in the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. So that's where the ladder is anchored. But God made the covenant unconditionally, and he hooked it into Christ Jesus on the earth. And he said, there it's anchored. There's no slipping. There's no sliding. There's no way of getting away. That ladder is not going to fall off the side of the house. What is it? He said, it's hooked by God above and by the Son of God beneath. And what is it? It's a pathway. It's a traveler's way from earth to glory. Somebody say amen. It's a traveler's way. The anchor that God hooked in heaven and secured on the earth through Christ Jesus and Calvary's cross. And he said, that's the way. Now what he said about this, if you're on that way, you can't fail. And there's great companies of angels going up and down here, ascending and descending and picking up the weary and the sick and healing their bodies and showing visions and mighty signs and wonders. Can't fail. Say it with me. Can't fail. It can't slip. It can't slide. You're safe. God said so. That settles it forever. Aren't you glad you found the way? It's hooked in glory. It's established on the earth. You can't fail if you're on that ladder. You got angels that are watching over you, all right? So that's what we have now. Let me add another little piece here, a couple of statements here. He said, Brother Bam said, the devil hates me, and I know he hates you too. He's my enemy, but as long as God's my friend, I have no fear of him. I have no fear of the devil. And let me tell you, your confidence is not based on your church attendance. Your confidence is not based on your human knowledge and your human intellect. I just drive him right out, right back, take the word of God, and move him right on back out of the place that he thinks he's holding. So our confidence is based on our position in Christ and the Word of God, right? The sword that we wield. And he hasn't got no strongholds. He's absolutely legally defeated in every place. So even though we have an enemy, we have a way to defeat that enemy, and it is through the Word. That's why we need to know, what do we believe? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8 says, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't it true that based on just the headlines in the last 7 days, you would have reason to fear if you were not in Christ? If you were not anchored in glory and established on the earth through Calvary's cross, we'd have reason to worry. If you lived in Guam, you'd have reason to worry. They say there's a whole lot more people going to church in Guam, so I guess that's one good benefit. But, you know, I mean, you have to understand that, you know, militarily speaking, geopolitically speaking, that today a nuclear blast is not going to be just some solitary event, right? There's a triggering event, folks, that's got to take place. And we're hearing all this rhetoric and so forth. Hey, might not be. Nothing might ever happen to this time. But, you know, we look at this, and I take great comfort in giving you this scripture and then a few more that are laying ahead. And I really want you to watch at the things I'm going to show you in a moment here, because I believe this, that if Brother Branham was really a prophet, that's important. And if he really was a prophet, and I believe that he was, then he had some very important things to say. Looking very carefully at what he had to say will be a comfort to you, not a threat. Okay? So watch what he has to say, and watch what the scripture says. That God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have rather the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And if God is actually working through the spirit of adoption to bring us to the place of maturity, then that process will not be cut short. You will have to come to the place of maturity before God's finished with you. All right? And no political decision is going to alter that. God's got a time frame. God's got a time sequence. God's got a season for everything. And we're in the season of adoption, where God is actually working on hearts to prepare us for the kingdom and to get there without death. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you believe that you're a child of God? Now watch now. Brother Man says it again here, and I'm just repeating again. Now he says we come to a time of full doctrine. So all of the scripture now is pertinent. All of the things that come from the mind of God are pertinent. Brother Bram says, I love good old shouting meetings where we just clap our hands and shout and have a good time, have great powerful services, and there's nothing against that at all. But when the showdown comes, you don't know where you're standing, and there's a great journey and a great battle ahead for the church. Now, we're in what he just said, right? We thank God for the meetings that make us feel good, but we don't want to have just a meeting that makes us feel good and then go right out the driveway and live like the devil again. We want to have something that's real. We want to have something that changes a human life and changes the heart. Isn't that right? And we want to have the kind of stand that he's talking about when a showdown comes and when the pressure actually arises and the sparks begin to fly. We want to know, what do we believe? What is it that has been said that we need to really hang on to and know for sure? Because there is a great journey and a great battle ahead for the church. And God's going to turn his church into manhood now, and we're going to have to put away childish things and take on manhood, which is maturity, right? That's what we're going to have to do. Now, again, now forgive me here for just shooting these out here, but I want to get your mind, your heart just moving in this right direction here. Brother Bram said, naturally, he says, when a man gets in trouble, he says, the thing we do is turn to God. He says, naturally speaking, whenever we get in trouble, we turn to a doctor if we have an illness and so forth. There's things naturally that we would do. But he says, when I was away up in New Hampshire, remember he had that experience where he got lost up there? And he said, I couldn't go into a cave, and there was an emergency on. And the emergency was that his wife and child were down in the cabin. You remember that? And it was snowing and cold and so forth, and he had to get there. So he said, I couldn't just retreat. And I couldn't just hide myself and look after myself. I had somebody else that I was caring for. So I had to press on. And he said, and you can't go to the doctor because he's done said you're going to die. And he's likening that experience to the experiences that we have, that you get into an emergency sometimes and you have to have somewhere to turn. But he said, what about if your doctor says to you, there's no more hope, there's nothing else we can do, and you're going to die? And he said, there's nothing can be done for you. Then what is he? So stop for a moment. How about in our world now, where we come to the place where things are happening, serious things taking place, and there's an emergency there, you're not going to be able to go into a cave. You're not going to be able to withdraw and say, that's it, I don't want to play the game anymore. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Look, folks, whether you're a bride or not, you're going to be a part of what's happening next. Right? If you're in the world is headed to a place, and that place is called tribulation. If you're in Israel, you're going to have a different set of things on the agenda altogether. If you are a member of the Bride of Christ, you're headed for a different set of events on the agenda altogether. But there's no opting out of future events. There's no opting out of what's coming on the earth. It's going to affect everybody on the earth in one way or another. And you can't go to a cave, and you can't just bury your head in a hole and say, it won't happen, it won't happen, it won't happen, it won't happen. And when things get really serious, then I'll get serious. You shouldn't think that way. And Brother Bam's letting us know that when the time comes when there's nothing else can be done for you, in other words, we run out of human options and we run out of human resources, he said, then what is he? He's Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Shammah. And the Lord is our refuge and our strength. He's always present to help in the time of trouble. Aren't you glad for that? That's exactly where we find ourselves. He promised to be God in the time of trouble, a present help. He promised to do those things, to see them through. And now, as he was then, so is he today. The same Spirit of God that led Israel leads the church today, bringing us through the wilderness to the promised land. We have a promised land. In my Father's house are many mansions. We're on our way. We're going to this glorious promised land that he's promised us. Wow. We're on our way. Think about it now. We're on our way. We are on our way to the promised land, but it is not you or me who's leading. It is the Holy Spirit himself who's leading. If God wanted to have a human being to lead us to the next stage of the journey, we would have that human being. But I believe that God himself, I believe he's the leader of the Bride of Christ. Say, Brother Barry, it's a dangerous picture to put up in front of a group of church people, especially people who have their black belts in church dinner like we do. But let me just step back for a minute and do this, because this is going to be a little bit different. And say that, you know, we live in a time that's different than just about any other time in history because of the unique characteristics of the age that we live in. And when I say that, I mean it, just from the amount of information that's available today is like no other age in time. With smartphones and with the internet and with social media and all of the information that's out there and all the information that you put out there voluntarily. There are people who make vast amounts of money collecting that information and data about where you are, what you like, what you're wearing, where you're going, the things you enjoy in life. And they collect all of that, and much of the marketing today is tailored to the things that you're putting out there and people are gathering. They call it data mining. They mine through all of this data and find out what everybody's excited about. The crazy fidget spinners, right? People put pictures up or comments up about fidget spinners, so now they're everywhere in the world. And it's a kind of thing where, we say, well, this is just a fad. And I want to just pause for a moment and tell you that this is a little bit more than a fad that we're dealing with here. Because we live in a time now, actually, where, according to history, it's not been like any other age in that more people are going to die today from eating too much than eating too little. And this is what this picture came from. This is a restaurant in Pakistan where they're putting up, they have a banner up there. And this is very common in Pakistan to display things like this. But Let me tell you something. It's not a lack of food that's going to get you in trouble today. It's an abundance of food, and a lot of it is the wrong food that's going to get you in trouble. It's never been like that in history before. So as a result now, today our government declared a national health emergency because there is so much and so great of a problem with opioid painkillers that they have now declared a national health emergency. It's absolutely amazing how strong and how big of a problem that is. And if we had a little bit more time, we could give you some details that are really, really scary about the times that we live in. It is the number one cause of non-accidental deaths in our nation, is deaths due to drugs that many times are prescribed to people. There's something really wrong with the system when that's the way it is. You are less likely to die from the combination of war, terrorism, and natural disasters than you are of suicide today. If you take all the people that die in wars, terrorism, and natural disasters, and you combine that number is not as great as the amount of suicides that take place today. It's absolutely incredible. Now, people who are smart and look at this thing, they look at it in the world, and just give me a few minutes, all right? If you're over 30, this is going to become a little foggy. So forgive me here, but I'll try to explain it in a way that maybe would be understandable. Sociologists and people who study trends in society and the effects of trends in society, they look at different markers. They look at different reasons why things change. All of a sudden, like in the 60s, there was a great social change in our country. And they go back and they look at that and they try to figure out why the things changed so drastically in the 60s. We have a pretty good opinion on that, by the way, and why things change. But over the years, they look at, especially recently, they look at reasons why trends change. In 2007 was the advent of the smartphone. And now they study, to a great extent, the effect of what a smartphone actually does to young people in our time. Now, look, folks, I'm not here today to tell you not to have one. I have one. I wish I didn't, but I have one. And they are extremely useful tools and all the rest of it, and, you know, and there's no going back from where we are. When one-fifth of the world is on Facebook, there's no going back from where we are. Okay, so I'm not here to tell you not to do this or that. That's entirely up to you. There's a little caution in here, though, for parents, and I want to come to that in just a moment here. So in 2007 is a point in time where the smartphone was introduced, and in 2012 it came to the place where over 50% of the world's population had one or had a phone similar to a smartphone that they could use and connect. So they were interconnected with the world. So these two points in time, 2007, 2012, are important for this discussion because a lot of things changed in society. Now, this is relatively new. Back to 2007, it's only 10 years. But what these smart people and sociologists, psychologists, researchers, universities, they're looking at this, and business people, they're looking at this and they're trying to figure out where are we going to be in another 10 years? If this has happened in this 10 years, where are we going to be in another 10 years? And so they're trying to find out what the effect is in the first 10 years and how can we minimize the negative effects in the upcoming years. And so, there may be all kinds of political rhetoric and things that you're listening to and so forth. I will assure you this. Just let me say this, and forgive me for making a political statement. But a wall between the U.S. and Mexico is really not going to make much difference in terms of employment and things that happen and giving people back jobs that were taken from them. It's really technology and algorithms that are really the bigger problem. So, to me, if we're going to put a wall up, let's put it up between the other states in California, because it's technology that's making the difference. It isn't underpaid Mexican workers that are out picking grapes in the field. They're there because there's a lot of Americans who don't want to have that kind of work, right? So if we're going to build a wall, let's think about where we should really put it. So when they look at statistics, and I don't want to give you many, I'm just going to give you two screens, they find that with young people, the idea of hanging out with friends, the times that teenagers go out without their parents has dropped drastically, because why do I need to go out if I'm connected? I can stay home and be where everyone is. And this is a kind of a serious consequence, because let me give you a quotation of a girl in an article that I have here in my pulpit here. And she made this comment. She was a 14-year-old girl, and she said, "We don't have a choice to know life without iPads or iPhones. They've never lived without the internet, without iPhones. I think we like our phones more than we like actual people." That's what she said. We like our phones more than we like actual people. So as a result now, young people, and look at the group, 12th, 10th, and 8th graders. That's what these three lines are. And there's a dramatic shift. Now, when statisticians and people who understand graphs and so forth look at things like this, they say this is a kind of a normal rise and fall. This is kind of a normal response. But 2007 is the date. They're finding dramatic differences in this line. That's what those folks watch. They watch those dramatic shifts in the line. This affects a lot of things, even in no rush to get their driver's license. Young people now delay longer and longer to get their driver's license. And again, this is something that has been gradual, and then all of a sudden in 2007 there's a shift. This is just two. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of these things that they're watching, that they're shifts. But here's what's serious. When you take this same group right here, 12th, 10th, and 8th graders, who are notorious for taking everything they do and posting it online, they have, some of you are smiling, you shouldn't smile at this point. When they do anything, they post the pictures online. And when they have social gatherings, and when they have social groups get together, like for a party or whatever else, they post those pictures immediately online. Some of it is live, right? I don't know, I'm not up on all the technology, but some of it is live. The problem is that everybody who has a phone and is not there realizes, I'm not there. I'm not with that group. So we're constantly reminded of what we're not. So this group here, consequently, has now, in our nation, the largest rise or increase in suicide in the whole world. In the whole world's picture, this group has the largest percentage of suicide cases than any other time in history. Just recently, and I don't know if you saw the headline, it was an 8-year-old boy who was last week who committed suicide. And it was all over what he was experiencing on his iPad. It was a very, very sad story. So the numbers then become mind-boggling. I'll let you look at the number. The approximate number of minutes Americans spent watching Netflix on their phones in June. That's a lot of zeros. That's a lot of zeros. And that's gone up 73% from 2014. 2.8 billion snaps from Snapchat are created every day. You know what a snap stream is? Like I say, for the people over 30, this is a little foggy here. Snap streams are very, very powerful things. Some of you are smiling, and this is not the time to smile, folks. Let me tell you that. Snap streams are streams of contact that people have with one another consistently. So if I was snap streaming with Jeremy here, and I did it 100 days in a row, I'd have 100 days on my snap stream, and that's a very, very powerful thing for kids to stay in contact with one another and to send pictures to one another that disappear. So it's not traceable. So if somebody wanted to send a compromising picture to a girl and a boy, that picture's going to disappear and nobody's going to be able to trace it. You look at the numbers now. 2.8 billion snaps are sent every day. It's absolutely amazing where we've come to. And what are you saying, Brother Branham? I'm just saying this. I just read you the statement here where Brother Branham, in The World Falling Apart, is letting us know that there comes points in time where, in Preludes to Destruction, where people are very much caught up in something else other than the thing that really matters. Okay? You with me? When I look at these numbers, when I look at the sheer volume of the activity that's going on here, I have to think that it affects some of you young people. I have to think that this number does not exclude people in churches. I might have been born at night. So I'm just saying this to you, that we don't want to go down with this world. And I would say to you parents, I think it would be good for us to, if we're going to lean one way or the other, lean to the conservative side. Rather than the, I don't care what they're doing as long as they're not smoking drugs and, you know, other things up in their bedroom. You know, it's all right. They're okay. Look, I think it would be nice to lean towards the conservative side. That's all I'm saying. Because these things are powerful. They have swept huge, huge numbers of people into this web of activity that's going on. And this is just really just the tip of the iceberg. And I'm doing this because I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to do the research I need to do in order to really understand where we are, because we can never really relate unless we understand where we are. Now, Brother Branham says, you can apply this now in a number of different ways, but in the Masterpiece in 1964, Brother Branham said that man was made in the image of his Creator and given a wall to stand behind, and that word will never fail. That's the Christian's hope. It's his shield and his armor. It's his rock today. And stay behind that word. Now, you must never get from behind that. When you do, you're opening the door to the enemy. And they say, well, I can do a little of this and a little of that. But God called you to separate yourself from everything that's called sin. I'm just saying what the tapes say. Because once you open Pandora's box, there's no going back. Right? So here's what Brother Branham is saying. And, you know, we can apply this in a lot of different ways. But I will tell you from experience that when you open Pandora's box, it can get rough. And there's no getting back in the box what comes out of the box. We need, as parents, to teach our children these principles. We need to teach this in church. We need to talk about it openly. We need to talk about it honestly, because the world is moving very quickly. We're talking the trend now since 2007 in 10 years, and really in 2012 when a lot of this stuff, I mean, a lot of these companies haven't celebrated their 10th anniversary yet, that have the hundreds of millions and millions of users and all of this activity and data flowing and all of the people using that and all the consequent industries that are spawned from all of this information that's out there. Many of them haven't blown out 10 candles yet. And we're talking mega influence in a world that's falling apart. I don't want to go down with that ship. I don't want to identify with that. I really don't. Now, I'm in the over 30 group. But I'm saying this because I have children and I have grandchildren, and you have children and grandchildren. And I think it's good for us to kind of make sure we keep a balance on things here, because you can see how easily things can get out of balance. When your kids are much happier, much more content on a device than with young people, good young people, Christian young people, then we have a problem. We need to kind of deal with that. You know, we need to have the conversation. Okay? I'm not trying to take away anybody's joy or anything else. But what do we believe? Well, let's look at a couple of things we do believe. Is that all right? I mean, since that's the title. We believe in the saving grace of Christ. It's all right to say amen at the end of every one of these. I'm going to go real fast. We believe in the saving grace of Christ. We just have to be scriptural. We believe in baptism by immersing. We believe in repentance, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in receiving the Holy Ghost. Got your attention now, don't I? We believe in prophetic things, don't we? What's what the Bible tells us about the last day? That there would be a prophet that would come. And he would fulfill not just this, but he would fulfill Revelation 10:7 and many other scriptures as well, right? We believe in prophetic things. We're okay with that. We're comfortable with that. If we're born of the Spirit of God, we're sons and daughters of God. We believe in the phenomenal. We believe in divine healing. We believe in the power of God. We believe in old-time heartfelt salvation. We believe in people's liberty to say amen and praise the Lord. Amen. Let's practice. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do, do it. And He won't lead you to do anything but what's right. We believe that, right? We believe God's good at that, at leading sons and daughters of God. He took on that responsibility himself, and he still does it, and he does it well. There's pages and pages of things that we believe. I believe in a religion that we don't patch up. We die and are born again. And we're a Christian that can stand all the pressures that the Holy Spirit wants to push out. We got too much of psychic religion today instead of real born-again experiences with God. So we believe in actually dying to yourself and all your thoughts and everything else. Just die right out and let the Holy Spirit remake you. We believe in just letting God do His work. So all of these events that take place in the last day, all of these entities that are moving around this center, which is Christ, all of them have an interconnection. We believe that. And they're all important in the last day scenario. So these are all pieces that are on the stage or pieces that are on the chessboard that God is moving around in different positions in different places there. And so we believe that, you know, it's not just, we're not just this little group that's off here doing our own thing. But there are many other things that are contributing to the whole atmosphere and the whole backdrop for what's going on. And I read you this little statement here where Brother Branham said, we come to the prelude for destruction. And he said, that's just something that's done by God for a purpose. So God actually moves these pieces around on the board to help us understand how things relate and then what part you are and what part you've got to play, right? It makes sense when we look at it that way. I've just read some fine books in my life, but as good as them books be, there's only one book that can tell where you come from, what you are, and where you're going. That's this book, the Bible, and the Word is God. And now we believe in that book, and that's what we want to stand for in this day. In the token, Brother Bam said, we don't believe in baptizing children because they have sinned not yet. Sin comes because of choices and because they're too young. But we believe in dedicating children to the Lord. I believe in families. I believe that it's important to minister to families. I hope you do too. If I had my way, we'd have a family camp every year. And I'd be unashamed to say that we would have a family camp every year. There's a little bit of mechanics that need to go into having a family camp every year, but I would certainly love to have it because I believe in ministering to families. I believe, hey, this is a bonus here. Take your Bible, go to Genesis 2:24. Because I don't have this on the board here, but just is it all right? Turn in our Bible, Genesis 2:24. This is a keynote scripture that God put in place in the Garden of Eden before the devil showed up. And this is how he designed families to be and to operate. Therefore, everybody there? Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a boy? Nope. Therefore shall an adolescent? Nope. A man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Your job description just got a little more important to you as parents. Because when this guy comes down the aisle and stands here at the end waiting for his bride, he's got to be a man. Your job is to teach him to be a man. And let him go because he's already entered manhood and he's ready to accept the responsibilities of the decision he's just about to make. And therefore, we give away men. I said, we give away men. In my household, we give away men in marriage. We give, my wife and I, we train our boys to be men so that when they leave this house, they no longer have their hands in daddy's pockets. And they no longer have no idea what in the world they're going to do in life. They are to be men now and stand up and accept the consequences of their decision. Well, in order to have men graduate from your house, you got to have man teaching. You got to have man classes, right? We got to have some man study. And sometimes we use words when we teach. But mostly, the best way a man can learn is from another man. Hanging around with a godly man. Hanging around and understanding what a godly man does and how he prays and how he spends his money. How he treats his wife, how he structures his year with vacations, spending time with the right people and all the other things that go with that, and how he arranges his priorities and how he goes to church regularly and how he doesn't, you know, You getting the point? We got to have some man classes. Now, you never heard that before. Because you know what? The rest of the verse says that, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his adolescent? No. We're giving away girls that are ready to become wives right there. You know what the difference between a queen and a princess is, right? Now, I've never raised girls. I've only Googled this. If I had a girl in my house, and I tell this to my granddaughter all the time, my oldest one, I asked her the other day, I said, you know what the difference in it is in a queen and a princess? And she said, yeah. In other words, I know you're just leading to something. But she said, yeah. I said, let me tell you something about this house. You'll never be queen of this house. You'll never be queen in this house. Your mom's the queen. Your dad's the king. Your mom's the queen. And you'll never be queen in this house. But you always will qualify to be a princess. And really, you should never go around acting like you're the queen. Or the queen's mother. You should never go around acting like you're queen here because you're not the queen. You're the princess. And from this day till the time that your daddy gives you away, if I give my permission, and that's a big if, your mom and dad are training you to be a queen to a man who will be your husband. And therefore, I think when a man brings his girl down the aisle, his princess down the aisle, and he gives her away to some yahoo who's standing there and thinks he knows everything, I don't think we give you brothers enough time to speak to her and pronounce a blessing over her, because she is your princess who's now going to become a queen. And this is the last moment for her to be a princess. This is her last seconds to be a princess. And she turns into a wife all of a sudden, because that's what the scripture tells us. We got to have some queen classes. We have some queen teaching, right? Am I making sense? Because you know what? It's not automatic. It's not just assumed. That's why you dads need to come to church. That's why you moms need to come to church. Because you need to get everything you can to help your children become what the Bible says they are to be. That is a man who stands at the altar and a wife who now says, I do and I will. And she's going to take this man, and her name, her identity is now wrapped into his. And that's the way it should be. And I will assure you, folks, that that doesn't automatically happen. And it's not going to happen on Snapchat. It's not going to happen on social media. That's going to happen because people take the Bible out and they have enough sensitivity to the needs of your own children to pray with them and learn them and speak to them and minister to them and help guide them and help give them discipline and correction and help them to know what's right and what we believe and what we ought to put in place in our lives and what you can do as a young person and how you can conduct yourself and how you can live within the boundaries and find out the boundaries. And whether we do that every Sunday here or every Wednesday or whether we do it in a family camp, it's got to be done. Because to me, that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do, is to prepare us to one day be a queen. Are we okay? But we don't believe in theology. We believe in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you come into his presence, there's something that happens in your life that changes you, and you're never the same anymore. We believe that when a man takes a woman, that's his wife, and death only can separate them. Somebody ought to say amen. I think everybody ought to say amen to these things. That's what causes separation in families, is the neglect of love. That's what causes separation in churches, is neglect of love. We got to have love. Amen. We believe in love. We believe in predestination. We believe in the rapture. We believe in the wedding supper. There's many, many things that we believe in, and we can talk about some of them. But if you don't mind, let me go back to our text just for a moment here. Brother Branham says we know we're living at the end time. We know we're living in the 11th hour. We know then that we're living in a very important point in time where these people, and I'm not going to dwell on this now because we're going to run out of time to do this, but let me give you a couple of statements just so you can take these with you and add them with what we've talked about. He says in the token, I'm so grateful for you, friends. You're that 11th hour people standing here just getting in. You're that 11th hour people. People who would believe the token message are the people who are the 11th hour people. Each one of you, remember, it was God who told you to come. Humanly, you wouldn't have done it. Humanly, you wouldn't have done it. Remember the parable we read? What did he do? He went out and found the people who were standing around idle, and he brought them in. You're not here because you stumbled on the right church. Only Brother James has that distinction. Only your uncle has that distinction. He walked down the road and stumbled on our church and said, that's it. That's the one. But otherwise, let me tell you, God brought, and I believe God led Brother James down the road. But let me tell you something. It's God who told you to come. It's God who told you this is right. It's God who keeps telling us this is right. Recognizing your day. It's time the Gentiles, has been in a Pentecostal feast. And what did it do? To rush all the Jews from all parts of the world back into their homeland. It must be there. In the 11th hour, he says it was designed, that the events in the last day, in that 11th hour, was to run the Jews from all parts of the world back into the homeland. But remember now, in the countries that were controlled by communism or where the message had never reached, God allows two things to happen. The Jews are able to get out from communist Russia and communist China. And God's allowed Jews to be able to come out from those countries that previously they were not allowed access from. And so they came back to Israel in droves, especially when the Iron Curtain fell and the Soviet Union broke up back in the 90s, right? The second thing that happened was because of that breakup and that shakeup back in that time, the message was able to infiltrate and get in. So we were able to reach the bride in those nations, and in Israel was able to be populated by the people who belong in Israel. So there's two things that took place, two very important things. And I believe that the second thing, the message going in, was facilitated by the technology that's available. So we want to make sure we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, that there is a right use of technology in our time. Right? Now, the seventh angel message is to open the mystery of the seals, calling the 11th hour Gentile workers to receive the same pay that the first hour workers got. Hey, take away every other benefit, but give me eternal life, and I'll be happy. That's the benefit, folks. That's the pay. We have eternal life, right? Now, all right, last couple of statements here, and I want you to shake yourselves. We're going to end here in just a moment here. Brother Branham says we're right on the door of a global destruction. Brother Branham must have had future papers delivered to his door. Hanging in the hangars is bombs. Did you read Life magazine? His general said that this first one to blow his top would touch off one of them bombs. They're already hanging. There's a chain reaction thing that we know is capable of happening. And they can drop them by radars and stars. Well, stars don't operate missile-guided systems, but satellites do. And they can drop one from Moscow right on Sunset Boulevard and anywhere they want to drop one. And we're sitting right here, we're out there in the ocean with these big ships. We could see them the other day. I met one of the brothers who was a pastor over in Latvia. And Peter's met him, and he was a submarine sailor back in the days when the Cold War was very strong, very hot. That's a paradox, isn't it? When the Cold War was on. And they would hang around outside of Seattle and Tacoma, and they would wait for the launch. They would just sit on the bottom, and they would wait for the launch of new submarines put out by the U.S. Navy as they would come out of Tacoma. And they would listen for the ping, because every submarine has its own unique ping. It's a sound that's made underwater. And they would just sit there, and when the new submarines were launched, they would record those pings and send them back to Moscow. So they have a catalog. And whenever they're out in the ocean and they hear submarines moving, they can't see them, obviously, because it's dark. And they often lie in wait. They wait for that submarine to move. They listen to the ping. They check it at the database, and they say, that's an American sub. And a brother who was a pastor in Latvia was one of those sailors sitting out there off Tacoma listening to those submarines being launched and capturing the ping. He said, we often ran from U-boats and torpedo or submarine detection boats that were out there trying to destroy us because they knew what we were out there doing. That brother is now a pastor in the message. He said, them submarines come up and they wouldn't even let us get near them with that radar. And that's the reason they don't let people get near those submarines. They hide all the time because of this ping. And with that radar bomb sitting there, they could put right one on Moscow if they wanted to put one there. And one of these days, somebody is going to make a slip. And they're going to pull one. And when they pull, there's going to be a pulling on this side too. That's why I say, It's in no one's interest for anyone to drop a bomb today in this world. It's in no one's best interest, especially if you're sitting on the Korean Peninsula, especially if you're sitting within the range of madmen. It's in no one's best interest for anyone to shoot a missile. And that's what the world's, he said, and what's the world going to do? It can't stand it. There'll be a burst and a shake and the world fly to pieces, and that could happen before the sun goes down tonight. Now, whenever that happens, I believe we'll be in glory, and I believe that it'll be a beginning of the process of renovating the earth for us to come back on. But now, remember what I told you last Sunday, I believe it was, where there are certain things that are being held up on purpose by God, not by politics, but by God. Because destruction is not allowed to come because there are certain things that have to happen in the earth. There are certain people got to be saved. There are certain Jews that have to go back to Israel, right? And this is what this means, Revelation 7:1. Brother Branham talks a lot about it, how that God gives the order. This order comes down. Hold the winds back. Don't let the strife happen yet. So strife is imminent, but it's not allowed until God's purpose is fulfilled, right? And you're part of that purpose because none of you were in when this was actually spoken. And this was actually spoken in the early 1900s. When World War I stopped, that's when this was spoken at some point in there to hold up the destruction that World War I could have brought. So Brother Branham says this, all right, two more quotes. He said, I believe it was a senator of some state was just talking to Brother Shikarian, and up in Greenland where this nation is prepared from Greenland to destroy the earth with atomic weapon. Just one touch and any nation will go plumb off the earth. That's the only thing that we hear is just they got a bomb, it'll do certain things. That's what we hear. But they got it bigger than that, you know. They don't let all your secrets out when it's national affairs. Naturally. And this man is coming to Miami in July, and this congressman is coming, and there was a missile that got in the screen, and something in the screen, and this man had orders to pull the lever, and that would have been it. So they caught something in the screen. They assumed that this was an incoming enemy missile, and so therefore the orders are then to react to that. This is back in 1963, and he says, he was the one who would have pulled the lever, and that would have been it. But he said himself that he could not pull it, which would have loosed I don't know how many big rockets or bombs. And that battle would have been on, but something wouldn't let him pull it. And I wonder if that was God, that there's somebody here that's not saved yet. Hold the winds of strife back. So who's in control of this? Who's really in control of all of this? So are you okay now? Thankfully, it's God. Thankfully, it's not somebody else. Thankfully, it's not the media. But you can see how easily, if you just react to headlines, you're going to get scared. You're going to drop down from this level to this level. And God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to stay on a certain level, keeping your eyes on God, not on the things of this world. You understand my point? Now, last quote. Look at what Brother Ram says. Now he said, hold it. Hold the winds of strife unto what? The 11th hour people could come in, the last calling of the Gentiles. That's us. This is our age, the 11th hour. So one of the reasons why this is held up is because of you. World War I stopped at 11th hour, 11th minute, and so forth, all the way back. He said, second paragraph, atomic bombs, everything else are being built up, but they can't do it. They have arsenals, but they can't use them. They can't trigger global destruction because they can't. They can't do it until the Jews get a visitation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The angel said, hold it till we seal the servants, not bride, servants. Hello? When is this going to happen? It's not going to happen because of political whim. It's not going to happen because of political mistakes. It's not going to happen because, there's a vote. It's going to happen when God allows, and a prophet is telling us that God's going to allow it when the Jews get their visitation. Do you know what has to happen before the Jews get their visitation? Let's stand to our feet. I don't know about you, but when I studied this and looked over this, I had a weight lifted off my shoulder, because you can't help but wonder when you look at all of this and wonder. Right? You can't help but wonder, could this be the day? Could this be the week? Could this be the event? Could this be, you know, an atomic holocaust coming here? Is this why this man's in the office? And this why is this, you know, nation is like this? And yeah, I mean, you wonder about things, right? Naturally, we're humans. We wonder about these things. And we're bombarded with information out there. And a lot of it is, sorry to tell you, a lot of it is just not true. A lot of it is what people think might happen. And what people, hey, look, we've had somebody who knows what's going to happen. We have somebody who is, we believe in prophetic things, right? Everybody with me? We believe in prophetic things. So therefore, if he's a prophet, he's looking ahead at things that are going to happen. We don't need to really rely on other people's opinion, folks, when you're talking to somebody who's already seen it. When is this going to happen? This is going to happen when the Jews get their visitation. They receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost over there. When the Jews receive this message, that's when that's all this is going to break open. That's when all this is going to break loose. And if I put, you know, you don't have to be around long to figure out the Jews don't get it before we're gone. And if we're gone, I'm just not really worried about a whole lot of other things. I just feel good about where I'm standing. But I say this, there are things that are happening, and there are things that are changing. And there are things that are happening, I think, in our world today is going to push you to the place where you got to know what you believe. We got to know what we believe. We got to know where we stand. We got to know and be fully committed. That's us.
Until then, my heart will go.
and pray for anybody else, I'll be glad to do that. And I would encourage anybody else, if you've never given your heart to Christ and you want to do that, make a full surrender, there's no better day than today. If you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no better day than today. I thank God for His people, and I thank God for His Word, and how today the message is so relevant, how today the Scripture is so relevant. And in the last day, hey, the people who come in the 11th hour, they're not looked down upon. They don't get less. They're not behind the ball in any way, shape, or form. They get exactly what God's people get, and that's us. I'm excited about that. I'm not fearful about the things in this world. The more I read, the more I understand, the less fearful I am. Because you know what? I believe God's got His eye on His people. I believe God's got His eye on the bride of Christ. And one day, remember now, He's training us. We're not in control here. But one day, we'll be His queen. We step over on the other side. What a blessed time. What a blessed day to live. I worship You. Is that right? There is none like You. I worship you, Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do.
For You are my rock.
Thanks, Lord, that we found a safety zone. We give thanks, Lord, because you care for us. And now, in Jesus' name, we dismiss this service. But, Lord, we say, go with us, because we never want to be where you're not. We never want to be apart from you. We just love this. And we know, Lord, that this is the kind of thing we'll experience in a greater way for all eternity. And this is something that's drawing us. It's pulling us. We have no fear in the future, Lord. We have rather just expectation, because we know good things await God's people. Help us, Lord, where we are. Help us in the journey. Help us, I pray, from earth to glory. In Jesus' name we pray. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. We're going to let you go this morning. Men, this afternoon, 3:45. Stephen's going to minister tonight, so come a little bit early. Let's sing it this morning as we go. If you want to linger a little bit and pray, you're certainly welcome to do that. God will make